BravelyTalent.com is a social recruiting platform that builds social media communities for employers. It's revolutionary. Lucian is working on a new solution to map the global talent marketplace and innovate the education system using the social web. Honoured as Europe's youngest young global leader by the World Economic Forum, Lucian used the Brave New Talent platform to head up the global social media outreach for One Young World, an initiative, to give young people a place to engage and have their voices heard about their future. Time to meet the very energetic face behind Brave New Talent, Lucian Tanowski. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. That's a really cheesy intro, but great to be here. Are you having a good day?
Yay.
Yeah. Really good to be here. My slides are on a bit of a timer, so if they go, I'll try and keep an eye on it. I've been here to hear the last two talks. I couldn't be here this morning, but my God, it's amazing what's going on. I think I've been inspired by those last time. I'm actually a friend of Andre's, and that's awesome. All those things he said there, absolutely fully agree with. But don't worry, you don't need to be perfect on all seven. You need to just develop on all seven, because nobody's perfect, nobody gets it right. And that's going to be one of the things that I talk about today in terms of failing, but failing forward. So what I'm going to talk about is entrepreneurship and social media. And I'm going to talk a little bit about us. I think pretty much most people here are Gen Y. Can I have a show of hands? Who is Gen Y? Do you know what that means? It means you're born between 1980 and 2000. So I don't think anyone here was born in 2000, but show of hands, I'm one of those. I was born in 1984. You guys are Gen Y. So when you hear the newspapers talking about Gen Y, they're talking about you. So you might agree with them, you might not. But I'm going to talk about some of the characteristics of those. But I'm also going to talk about social media, because I think it defines this generation. And what I say about social media is, for the first time in history, us lot, the youngest people entering the workforce, are an authority on something that actually matters in the economy. So for the first time ever, think about that, for the first time ever, the youngest people coming into work are an authority on something that actually matters. Now what that is technology, it's social media, it's the internet, it's tools that we use to collaborate with each other every day. So you leaving university or school, wherever you are in your career, as you're entering the workforce and looking to start your business, you're an authority on something that really matters. And when you're an authority on something that matters, you should use that to your own advantage. So I'm going to talk a little bit about social media and how you can use it, but I'm going to start just by giving a quick overview of what I do. Who knows what the Milk Round is? University? I can say it here, I think it's really crap. It's really outdated, it's pretty archaic, and it hasn't really changed around the internet. So what we did is go out and start something different. We're still very much a startup. We're still in our nappies as a business, as I say. But we're having a great time doing it, and I'm learning a lot on the way. So what we do is very simple. It's like Facebook, but rather than connecting to your friends, to people you know, you connect to companies you want to work for. So you create a professional profile and go and follow companies you're interested in. And what it does is means that you can engage with those companies without them seeing what you did this weekend. So you don't really want your employers to be able to see what you're getting up to on Facebook. And what this does is provide a solution for you to engage with employers in a different way, in a professional way. And the idea being that you can find the information more readily that you want to, of where you want to work and what it might like to be to work there, and get better prepared for work. But what I really want to speak about today is something that's closer to my heart, which is entrepreneurship. Because many of the things that I've learned along Brave New Talent is about starting a business. I started very young. I started my first enterprise at the age of 4, selling apples. Money does grow on trees. But I was always going to be doing this. And what I figured is that the whole model of talent finding the right jobs in life was broken. But the majority of the world's population weren't doing the right thing, and they were in jobs they don't enjoy, not playing to their best assets. And I wanted to change that. I wanted to map talent and, like Andre said, do it on a global basis. But we all have to start somewhere, and we have to start small and local. But it's been one hell of an exciting journey, and we're learning all the way. So what we say is that The market has developed. It's gone from print, you know, in the 90s, and it moved to online in mid-90s from 96 onwards. Over the last 10 years, it's been a market online. Recruitment's been online, like many other businesses. But what I argue is the difference between the print market and the online market is as great as the difference from the online to the social market. Now, there's new opportunities being created by social media, and recruitment's just one of them. But something that's really, really close to my heart is I strongly believe that the education system's broken. The formal education system, what we're learning in schools and universities, is no longer fit for purpose for what the workforce requires. In fact, it goes as far as to say that the biggest bottleneck in any developing economy is its own education system, that they can't produce the talent that they need fast enough for the growth of the economy. And if you think that over the last 20 years, think of the pace of change that's happened in this industry, it's just shot up. Yet the education system is still largely the same. It's flatlining, and that's being polite to the education system. So there's this big skills gap. And what fills that gap is my dream. We talked about dreams earlier. I want to create communities of talent around employer brands, and I want to get those employer brands to deliver training to those communities, to deliver education, to deliver skills. So rather than going to the University of Oxford, you could go to the University of Accenture, the University of IBM, the University of McKinsey, and you could get training for free online delivered through social media. So anyway, that's enough from that, but that's my dream. I believe education is broken. So anyway, on to you guys. Gen Y is this lot here, born between 1980 and 2000. This year, this has gone to 34%, so you've taken over the boomers. Now, the boomers are called the boomers because after the Second World War, our parents came back and their parents had a party. There were lots of them. They hadn't seen each other for a while. There were lots of kids born. They're called the boomers. Now, they discovered sex and rock and roll and the pill. So they didn't have you till later on, which meant that Gen X is not enough of them. They're like the sandwich generation. There's much fewer of them. And what it means is as the boomers are retiring, there's not enough Gen X's to fill their shoes, which means that Gen Y are being pushed into more senior roles faster. It's having a real impact on the workforce. What it basically means is you can get more important, better paid jobs earlier on in your career. All good for us, though. So Gen Y are approaching work very differently, and I'm going to talk about one of the advantages that we've got when we're going into work. So as I said, this year there's more of us than them. That puts us at a real advantage. Now, Gen Y have been called a number of names. Really annoying is one of them, but they often say that us lot are more confident than we are talented. I don't know if you guys would believe that. I think I probably would say that myself, but I'm learning. But what does define us is we're digital natives. We've grown up on the internet. So our parents are still learning. You know, whose parents still type with one finger? You know? You guys are at massive advantage here. And where are your advantage? You can use that to start businesses or to get on further in your careers. And one thing I'd say is the biggest change going on in the economy is technology. It's the growth of technology. And what one of my biggest messages to you today is where there's change, there's opportunity. So 96% of us are on social networks. And do you know, us lot spend longer on social networks than we do in lectures. We spend, we spend longer on social networks than we do with our families. One in four of us add a new friend each day on Facebook. So this is what they call the social media bandwagon. Now, are you on it, or are you being left behind? I think you can use this to your advantage in whatever career you're looking for, or if you're looking to start a business, because it does put you to advantage. This is what Wikipedia says about social media, that it's an umbrella term that defines various activities that integrate technology, social interaction, and the construction of words, pictures, video, and audio. I think social media is people having conversations online. It's interaction. So the idea of Web 1 was one way. You just went to a site and you consumed information. Web 2 is two ways. So you interact with that information. You rate it, or you comment on it, or whatever it might be. So it's not a fad. It's often called a fad. But I say it's a fundamental change in the way we communicate. Change, as I said, equals opportunity. How are you using that opportunity to your best advantage? So the old communication model was a monologue. It was one way. People told you stuff. People advertised at you. Now it's what we call a multilog at Brave New Talent. A multilog is more than a dialogue. It's you, me, that person over there, all having a conversation on things that interest us. think whether that be TripAdvisor, whether that be my single friend, or whether that be Top Table, or whatever it is, you know, the social media is changing the way we live our lives, the way we work, the way we marry. 1 in 8 marriages in the States meet online. You know that. It's not often that you go on, you book a restaurant without checking out what it says about it online, or book a holiday and check out what people say about the hotel. So, who agrees with me? There's a hell of a lot of noise out there on the internet. Did you know that we receive 3,000 ads at us a day? 3,000. That whole industry is kind of going down the drain. It's a hell of a lot of wasted cash, because we only trust 14% of those ads that we see. So think about all that wasted money that's being spent saying this is the greatest product ever invented, and we just don't believe it. What we do believe is what our friends say about products. So this is changing the whole way we consume things, the whole way we buy things, the way we decide who we're going to work for, perhaps even the way we decide who we're going to marry. So 14% versus 78, I know which side I'd be on. So this is really important with the growing talent pool, where you sit and why you need to take these things to your advantage. There's 1.2 billion people entering the middle classes in the next 20 years, 1.2 billion. So where your parents, when you were in your shoes today at your age, your parents were entering a workforce that was competitive with maybe their city, possibly their country, but maybe at most their city. Now we're entering a workforce that we have to compete globally. We're competing with the 4 million grads that enter the workforce every year from India. 4 million from India alone. China is now the number one English-speaking country. It's a completely different market out there. Where now we're in a global world. There's now global opportunities, but there's also global competition. Now, I believe strongly that our generation cannot compete on price. So if you ever set up a business and say, the reason I'm going to be successful is I'm the cheapest, I think you're doomed to failure, because someone can always do it cheaper than you, because somebody can live in a cheaper area or have cheaper costs of labor or whatever it is. So I think you need to compete on value. I think in Britain we need to create, it's been a very tired word, but the knowledge economy. And what I'd say is we're actually facing a completely new mode of production. If you think of the transition from the agrarian time, which is when we all lived off farming, you know, we all lived off our land, to the Industrial Revolution, I think we're facing the digital revolution, perhaps call it the digital enlightenment, that the economy is changing to this networked world that is as great a change. So one of the key things I've learned is be fast, fail fast, fix fast, and learn fast. This is when you're starting a business, you've got to be agile, you've got to respond to changes, you've got to constantly tweak your model, because one thing's for sure is you're never going to get it right. I still say that we haven't got it right with Brain New Talent, we're still tweaking our model. And that's one of the things I've learned. Make sure, don't be scared of failure, and make sure that you fail forward, I think is one of the key things. So new business opportunities. This is just a couple of thoughts that I put down before. Who here would want to start a business? Who here wants to be an entrepreneur? That's a good turnout. You guys are so often said to be the solution to the failing economy. So to me, digital grows year on year. As I said, it defines our generation. We can really use it, because for the first time, the youngest people entering the workforce are an authority on it. Every sector is being changed by digital, by social media. So have a think where you're passionate about. And that brings on to the next point. Change equals an opportunity for entrepreneurship. Wherever you see change, there is opportunity for new business models. I think 2010 is the beginning of the decade of the young entrepreneur. We're facing a perfect storm in terms of this generation going into the workforce, with a million people unemployed, a million young people not in employment, education, or training, a million. It's the highest number ever. And so I think the opportunity to start businesses and innovate and create disruptive business models is huge. So think about what you know. Think about what you're an expert in. Think about what you know better. Think about what turns you on, what you're passionate about. Yeah? So what you're passionate about will then make it much easier, because there's a great quote that says, dreams aren't what I have in my sleep, they're what prevent me from sleeping. Now trust me, I know from 2 years working with Brave New Talent, there's not a week that's gone by that I've done much less than 100 hours. It is really hard work, but I love my job. It is really good fun. I've met some amazing people, from Bill Gates to Richard Branson to Clinton, just through my job. But you know, those opportunities wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been one of the people that could have run up on that stage and grabbed that £10 note. So another thing is create things that people want. How often you see business models in Dragon's Den that are just complete harebrained ideas? You know, just try and think about it, test it with your friends, and criticism is really good. Like, think about how you can tweak your model with the criticism you receive. And I think the hot sectors are green business, sustainability, CSR. I'm a big believer here that we have to see real paradigm shifts in this, and that this generation, us lot, have got more problems resting on our shoulders than any other generation gone before us. It's really important that we are developed and we want to be a generation of leaders. I think there's a great book I once read that says it's not how good you are, it's how good you want to be. So I think who you want to be, if you don't want to hit that goal, there's very little chance of you just by luck hitting it. I say that entrepreneurs, yes, I've been very lucky. Entrepreneurs are like inventors of luck. They, you know, luck, I say, reigns everywhere. It's like a country. Some countries it rains more, some less. But what entrepreneurs do is they look where the great clients are, and they build machines that catches rain, and they go and chase those rain clouds. So to me, innovation lies at the edge. You've got to be agile and respond fast. And you've got to think, what do I want to change? What's going to keep me up at night about what I want to change? And I think ending with a great quote from Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. Thank you.